From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Caroline Ballard. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that the Trump administration's attempt to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals Program, or DACA, won't stand. As KUER's Emily Means explains, the decision is met with mixed feelings from Utah's immigrant community.
Right now, there are around 8,500 DACA recipients in Utah, according to the Migration Policy Institute, including Alonso Reyna Rivarola. He came to Utah from Peru when he was 11 and is an undocumented immigrant. Reyna Rivarola says he's happy about the Supreme Court decision, but he isn't celebrating yet.
For me, the win would be comprehensive immigration reform and something that definitely includes every single undocumented immigrant who is part of this country.
Mayra Sedano is from Comunidades Unidas, a Utah advocacy organization for the Latinx community. She says the ruling means around 12,000 immigrants in the state could be eligible for the program. But Sedano is taking a moment to honor the achievement.
A lot of work had to happen behind the scenes. And obviously this also shows, you know, the leadership and the power within our own communities.
Sedano says Comunidades Unidas will focus its efforts on helping recipients renew their DACA status and assisting others with their applications. Emily Means, KUER News.
Utah announced 495 new COVID cases today, the second largest single-day increase since the start of the pandemic. This comes just a day after the state's epidemiologist warned the risk of catching the disease has, quote, never been higher. Utah's Department of Workforce Services also announced today about 4,800 people filed for new unemployment claims last week. That is down from the week before. Utah's legislature passed a bill today that would require long-term care facilities to test all their residents and staff for COVID-19. The bill would give people living in these facilities the option to reject testing, but they could be kicked out because of that. Here's the bill's sponsor, Republican Senator Curtis Bramble.
If an individual is under this prescriptive requirement of being tested, they have the right to refuse. But do they have the right to endanger everyone else in the facility for that refusal? That's really what the balancer is.
Bramble says over 40% of the COVID-19-related deaths in the state are from long-term care facilities. Hotel slowdowns alone could cost our region more than $1.7 billion in tax revenue this year. That's according to the American Hotel and Lodging Association. The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck reports.
That analysis shows that Nevada could be the hardest hit in our region, losing more than $1 billion. That includes state and local taxes from hotel closures and slowdowns, but much of that number is tied to gaming taxes. But all of the Mountain West leans on tourism as a major funding source for both rural areas and cities alike. In Idaho, it's the third largest industry. There, it employs upwards of 46,000 people and brings in $475 million in federal, state, and local taxes. State tourism officials say that reduces the tax burden on every Idaho household by $740 a year. However, spring is often a lull for tourism in parts of the Mountain West, so the timing of the virus could be worse. Summer, on the other hand, is a big deal for tourism. And unfortunately, COVID-19 positive cases are back on the rise. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
The Utah legislature passed a bill today to ban law enforcement from using chokeholds or kneeling on someone's neck as a form of restraint. KUER's Sonia Hudson has the details.
Under the bill, police would not be trained to use chokeholds as a valid form of restraint, but could still use them when lethal force is allowed. Officers would also be banned from restraining someone by kneeling on their neck. They would be charged with a first-degree felony if they do so and the person dies. The proposal comes after weeks of protests following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, where a police officer knelt on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Democratic Representative Sandra Hollins, the state's lone Black lawmaker, is the bill's sponsor.
Our communities have been in fear for a long time. This is just a down payment for them to say, we hear you, we want you a part of our community, and we're going to make sure that you feel safe.
Republican Representative Norm Thurston tried unsuccessfully to take out the first-degree felony punishment.
In 24 days, for us to go from a public incident to creating a first-degree felony is absurd. This isn't how we do things. We don't do knee-jerk reactions.
The bill now heads to the governor's desk. Sonia Hudson, KUER News.
You are listening to KUER News. I'm Caroline Ballard.